continuing where we left off on last Sunday. Before I give you where to turn your Bibles to, I'm going to ask that you would read our meditation, our word of preparation in the receiving of God's word, that we would read it together. Dear Lord, I come before thee as an empty vessel. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my mind that I might understand. Open my heart that I may receive your word. Once again, I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. That tells you it wasn't you. So, no, I don't have any. I don't have it even nowhere near me. So it's a process we're going to give to the good Lord. He's going to fix it. James chapter 1, verse 12. Reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, the text simply reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Based on this passage, we have been talking on the thought, stand your ground. Stand your ground. This is about the third or fourth message taken from James chapter 1, verse 12 that we've dealt with. So I want to take just a quick moment to bring us up to par as to where we are going to be in today's message. I want you to keep in mind now that here in James chapter 1, verse 12, James surrounds his thinking to pin this statement simply because he is trying to show us that as believers, that when we are confronted with trials and problems and situations, that we are responsible for maintaining a particular type of mark. And that mark is that James tells us it's not about you asking God to take you out of the situation or to deliver you or why me. That's not James's approach. James says that every Christian ought to have the mark of perseverance. The mark of perseverance. In other words, James says that no born-again believer should ever find him or herself in a position where they are ready to throw in the towel. He is saying, never give up. I also walk you through the fact and the idea that James wants us to fully understand that there comes a time in our lives that you must accept what comes your way. That is, certain trials, certain tribulations, certain situations. So James here is teaching us how to endure. How do I stand my ground? What is it that I must do in order to maintain myself under pressure? I shared with you that in James chapter 1, verse 12, that James gives us three reasons why we should never quit when we find ourselves under pressure. Three reasons. James says, now, if you take these three reasons, you ought to reap what God has in store once you undertake what's coming your way. What I didn't do was to lay out all three at one time. What we have completed was the first task that James presents in the text. We completed that on last Sunday. And it is here that James says, the person who endures is blessed. The person who endures is blessed. And I want you to keep in mind that James is talking to us from this text. That means that we dealt with the phrase when you look back at James chapter 1, verse 12. We dealt with the statement where James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Keep in mind, I explained in detail the idea or the concept of the term temptation that James presents in the text. And I took you all the way back to James's writings at the beginning of the chapter, where he talked to us about various trials that are going to come our way. On today's message, we want to now look at the second reason why we as believers should never quit. The second reason as to why we should stand our ground. Notice in the text, what I want to do is add what James has already said to connect with what he's going to say to us today. You look back now at James chapter 1, verse 12. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved. So our second reason as to why we should not quit, and why we got to learn how to hang in there under pressure, is because the person who endures is not only going to be blessed, but secondly, James says, that this person will be approved. Everybody with us? Now, before we even undertake dissecting that whole phrase, I want you to note what James says after the comma. Look at the phrase. James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, but immediately after that, you see the word for. Write it down in your notes, because the word for in the text literally introduces the reason for the blessedness of endurance in the midst of a trial. You got me? It introduces the fact that here's the reason why a believer will be blessed. Okay? So far is very powerful. In other words, the word far, as James uses it, is nothing more than a promised reward that is being given in the time of testing. Please don't lose that. In the time of testing. And why am I saying in the time of testing? James is saying that a person becomes approved when the test or the trial is completed. Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope y'all getting this. When it's completed. Not when you first start out. Not when you get halfway. But James says that you can be blessed when the trial or the test is complete. Look back at the phrase. Look at the uniqueness of what James does. James then wants to draw attention to the person who endures temptation. And he does so by dealing with the idea that a believer is to go through hardships. You are to go through hard times. You are to go through pain and suffering. So he uses an adjective to describe the process, but only the completion of the process. I sure hope y'all getting this. You with me? And that adjective happens to be the word approved. Look at it in your notes. Now, when you dig deep in the word approved, it's powerful. First of all, the word approve in the text is actually an aorist participle. When I say an aorist participle, it indicates then that James is saying you will never be approved until the test is over. Now don't lose sight that when you're going through something, you are in the process of getting approved. But approval only takes place when God puts his stamp of approval on the completion of the situation. So that means you got to be very careful how we handle the process of approval. In other words, James is literally making a point. The point that James is making in the text is that James is saying to us, it is God, and this is the part I want you to get. It is God who decides when a person has passed a test. I'm gonna say that again. It is God who has decided when a person has passed a test. Are y'all with me? So here's the point. You don't pass a test because you stand before God and holler back at him and say, I've had enough. That might be possible that you've had enough, but because you've had enough doesn't qualify you to pass the test. You might even stand before God and say, I am tired. Have you ever gotten to a point you were just sick and tired of a situation, how things kept happening over and over and over again? It's possible you were tired, but it doesn't qualify you in the midst of your being tired that you passed. You don't even pass the test based on what other folk got to say about your situation. See, some of y'all listen more to other people than you do the Lord. All it takes is for some of y'all to hear other folks say, well, I think you've done enough. In fact, I couldn't have done nearly as much as you done. Girl, I never could have hung in there that long. I'd have given that rascal a week, but baby, or you might have said, I can't handle him. I'd have quit that job. You lasted a whole year. Not me, baby. You on the last one, I didn't even stay a month. So I think it doesn't matter. You don't pass the test based on what other folk got to say about you in dealing with the situation. I want to remind you that James is saying you only pass the test when God, at the end of the test, says to you, servant, well. See, we take that well done concept when we die. Now you hear that. But there will be no well done when you die until you understand he speaks well done all the time when you are faced with everyday trials. The problem is that many of us as Christians fail the test. Now we got big mouths and we talk good talk, but when we think about when God allows situations to come our way, we flunk the test. And there are a number of reasons why we as believers fail to pass the test. Some of us do not pass the test because we got attitude problems. Boy, y'all mighty quiet. We are always grumbling and complaining and hollering out to the Lord, why me? Well, I want to add to your complaint. Why not you? What makes you so all that you cannot be dealt with when it comes to a trial? How do you expect God to mold you, to grow you, and develop you into the kind of person God wants you to be, and you are forever grumbling? Y'all be surprised how some folks think about why they come to church. I was at church Sunday. What's your point? I'm not trying to be funny, but if you're in here to get exempt from catching hell, you're in the wrong place. Sometimes we flunk because we can't have our way. We like spoiled brats. And we tell God stuff as if God was sleeping while you were doing what you were doing. In your relationship with him, you cannot have your way. You've heard me say all the time that churches are full of pamper-wearing saints. People, folk been in pampers for so long, I'm just excited for them to get to the level of pull-ups. Because see, when you wear a pull-up, you don't mess in it all the time, but every now and then. Every now and then, you slip. And how many of us? I know how I deal with my grandchildren. I said, don't worry about it, that's a pull-up. Papa, take it off. We in Walmart. All I ask you to do is be still. Don't drop it all on the floor. Another reason why we mess up is because we don't understand God's will for our lives. We're so busy comparing ourselves to other people. I know what I do for the Lord, and look at her, look at him. They ain't dealing with what I'm dealing with. When you, any of y'all got any sense of not enough to know, when you go to the doctor, they don't prescribe the same pill for everybody. There are different pills out there. But you got the same problem John Doe got, but you take a different medicine than they take. Why? Because they got sense enough to know that your body can't handle this pill. But you can do better with that pill. But you're so busy looking at somebody else. Boy, y'all might have quiet up in here. Sometimes we flunk the test because we are spiritually weak. And I tell y'all all the time, when you're spiritually weak, don't run with other spiritual weak people. You can't afford to do that. But we are doing a die because we enjoy the company of weak saints. They complaining, they grumbling, and we are too. And neither one of y'all can help each other. See, every now and then you need somebody to say, look, shut up. Shut your mouth now. Been there, done that. But this is how you get to the next level. But if you're running with the same folk on the same level, what kind of word of encouragement can you get from somebody when everybody happy right here? So based on these things, James in the text says to every believer, we got to learn how to endure trials. Got to learn how to endure. And I've been around and been dealing with ministry 40-some years, and I've seen folk blame other people. I've seen them blame the church. Get mad about stupid stuff, but never stand in the mirror and look at themselves. So there are some things that if we're going to handle properly, that's some things you need to know. Don't just tell me to endure when I don't know how to endure. So we're going to take a few minutes. I'm going to lay out some stuff. We ain't going to finish. I ain't in no hurry. I want you to get it. Okay? Well, first, we need to come to grips on who it is that causes suffering. Is it God or is it the devil? Am I making sense to anybody? Well, I need to help you to understand that the devil is the person. He's the individual that causes much of our suffering. And notice the term I said, much. Because some hell we catch ain't got nothing to do with the devil nor with the Lord. Some of the hell we catch, we bring on ourselves. Well, in order to understand this, I brought some help. Come here, Luke. Luke in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, tells us something. He says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Now I want to back up. Sister Paul, back that verse back up. There's some key things you need to recognize in the statement. The very first one is that it was God who anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. This was done when Jesus was baptized by John. Does everybody see that in the text? Look at the second thing. Luke says that Jesus went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Does everybody see that in the text? Now that teaches us something. That teaches us that Satan is responsible for oppressing people. Let's make a connection. People can be used by Satan. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all listening? Yeah. When Satan uses a person, he has a mission. And his mission is to cause you to become oppressed. That's his purpose. So stop walking around. The only reason I'm so down, they don't like me. got it all wrong. Satan has a reason. He doesn't want you to have joy. He doesn't want you happy. He wants you down and out. He wants you looking like a lemon in the face. That's his mission. Well, that's not enough. Luke said one thing, but Paul says something else as well. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, listen to what Paul says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The Apostle Paul was extremely unique. Paul called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. You will see this, and Paul proves it, in the book of Romans, Romans 1 and 1, even in Philippians 1 and 1. He lays it out. I am a slave of Jesus Christ. What does Paul mean when he says a slave of Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, you must understand the position, the role of a slave. A slave has no will of their own other than the will of the master. See, that's why I know God had all great intentions when he allowed us to be born at this time, in this era, because many of us wouldn't have lasted under slavery at all. Us got attitudes. We don't know how to shut up. And definitely you ain't gonna speak to me like I'm stupid. So when you look back at what Paul was saying to Timothy, he wanted to remind him that he was a slave for Jesus Christ. And he turns around and says to Timothy, I'm aware of situations that are going on at this time. Timothy, you got to stand boldly and teach God's word. Don't bite your tongue. Call wrong wrong and right right. Don't go after amens. Don't go after shouts. Don't go after folk loving you. Teach God's word. But then Paul turns around and says, but it's not going to be easy. Well, why is it not going to be easy? Well, he says to Timothy, in essence, there are going to be people who are going to enjoy foolish, stupid arguments when it comes to the word of God. And that's the way we are today. Before we witness to somebody, we'll debate over an issue. And who cares? So Paul in the text, look at what he says. He says, Timothy, tell them to avoid the snares of the devil. See, when you know the word, your attitude is not on the trial. Your focus is on what God is doing to you and through you, because he never allows something to happen without a reason. God is always aiming to do something in our lives, but because we don't know how to shut up, this man just mentioned it in his teaching this morning, of the difference between generations. This generation, why? Yeah, right. Yeah. Why? I listen attentively. Kim likes to make sure little William and Chris, and deals with little Chris, they learn how to say yes, sir, no, ma'am, but what? That's a no-no. But somebody need to teach us as spiritual children of God. We the same way. When hell breaks loose, what? But we need to humble ourselves under the power of God's anointing and say, I know you're up to something. I know you're trying to teach me something. I know you're trying to show me something. God, let me shut my mouth and take some teaching from you so I can move up to the next level. I want to leave you with this. I told you that the devil is responsible, but he can't do anything on his own. So put this in your notes. The devil does his thing, but God allows, good God from Zion, the devil to bring suffering. God allows the devil. But if we didn't have that to go on, we'd be in trouble. Before I let you go, let me kind of bring to the table some proof. Isaiah going to help us. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 7. Listen to what he says. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. That statement was made under the umbrella of the overthrow of Babylon. And what I'm trying to get y'all to understand is nothing just sneaks up on you. God neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's alert. And that's good news. That's enough to make you holler. That while we're in the bed sleeping, God is on guard. That means that the enemy can't even come on your street and do any wrong without God knowing it. The problem is we just don't like the idea that God permits it. Look at what he says. I am the Lord. And the concept is, there is none other. In other words, when you read in the Old Testament about Job, you can't bypass God. The Bible says that Satan was present in worship service. I ain't here to hurt nobody, but I am here to tell you the truth. You can't run from that booger. He'll show up at church. And sometimes that rascal looks holy. Got on holy outfits. But full of hell. And got a mission. Got a purpose. In church. But if you know the story, it was God that said, have you considered my servant Job? Now I got to ask you something. Do you think you qualify to become a candidate to catch hell on God's recommendation? Do you? Or is it possible you pout and poop too much and he got to leave you on the changing table? Is that possible? Or do you really qualify? Have you reached that level where God says to Satan, have you considered some candidates at New Horizon? Is there anybody in the house who qualifies to catch hell on God's behalf? Oh, boy, y'all looking at me mighty strange. The point is that the closing of the whole argument is that God ultimately is responsible. I didn't say cause, responsible for the suffering, which means that hell can't get to me unless God allows it. The words to that new hymn about what God allows for me, it's for. That's the key. He allows things to happen. So the next time hell breaks loose, shut your mouth.
There you go.
Shut up now. On next Sunday. Put a pin there. Next Sunday. I tell you what, Sister Paul. You stay right there on that. I'm gonna mention this last thing. I'm not gonna give Satan the credit, because it's gonna be hard for me to start at this point. Okay? So we're gonna make it to B on my paper back there. I want y'all to write one more bullet in y'all's notes. This is the conclusion of the matter, and that is, trials and tests are to be expected. Are y'all listening to me? In other words, with all of what I've said to you today, I don't want you walking out that door with, I'm telling you now, it's to be expected. It's a package deal. It's a part of your relationship with God. In fact, if you are not catching hell, I may question your relationship with God. Okay? Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 34, verse 19. Listen to what he says. Woo! Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Y'all gotta see that. So next time you open your mouth and you holler, why you? Why not you? Why not you? If it ain't one thing, it's another. But that ain't the part I want you to recognize in the statement. The statement says, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That's good news to know that whatever Satan got up his sleeve, I might look beat up. And every now and then he try to make me feel beat up. But at the end, when all is said and done, he'll let me step out of the situation with an attitude of victory. Listen to this. Luke declares, we must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. He mentions this in the book of Acts. That means that the journey to the kingdom of God requires dealing with tribulations. So you don't even think about trying to make it to heaven if you don't have an attitude of dealing with hell on earth. In fact, with all of what's going on around us, you ought to have a different attitude about life. But some of y'all still gonna try to have folk to make up stuff about you at your day of going home to be with the Lord. Do y'all not know folk gonna talk about you anyway? They gonna stand by your grave. Now, why she wanted to wear that? Like whatever you got on in the casket, you gonna step into heaven with that on. Y'all come on now. You got to understand something. It's a journey. And I'm on my way to heaven. But I got to accept how I got to get there. And the more hell I catch, the stronger I become. Finally. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 3. Listen to what Paul says. That no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to them. Can I let you go with your feelings hurt? You are on appointment. He knew somebody was going to lie on you. So the lawyer has been appointed to lie on you. Boy, y'all looking at me like. Listen to this. Tribulations and trials that come to a Christian must be received as opportunities and not accidents. Boy, y'all, you got appointments you got to deal with. Ain't nothing accidentally happen to you. You ain't that important to accidents. They are appointments. God is working on me. And I don't know about none of y'all up in here. He been working a long time. But I can shout about some things. The rascal I used to be, I'm not that person anymore. I've gotten a little bit stronger. I may not be much, but what used to hurt me a long time don't mess with me no more. You ever walked up to folk, they were whispering about you, and you were just hurt. I does not care. Talk as much as you please. Because he didn't change my attitude, my approach. As you said in your teaching, you ought to know who your enemies are. And sometimes you got to look at them and say, thank you for the blessing. The reason I know if I'm an important Negro is when you take the time to talk about me at your dinner table while you eating your chicken, your greens, and you're going to bring me up. I'm a bad. I'm finished. Had to do that. We've been running in and out of church too long. Pandemic going down. Now it's time to get more word. Doors of church open.